Man, do we have a lot to get to. Of course, you're going to hear plenty of highlights and post-game reaction from the USF football team's win against UConn, but that will not be the end of the show. We have, well, wins for cross-country, for women's soccer, a maybe 2 minutes from being a win for men's soccer in a game that technically didn't get played. Oh yeah, that was quite strange. A strange weekend for volleyball, getting swept by ECU, but then taking a set and really being 1 point away from taking Cincinnati, the best team in the conference, to a fifth set. We've got all that drama as well. And a school record set in women's golf for a low round. Erica Smith, the freshman, we've been telling you about her. And man, did she come through with a 64, 6 under par on Sunday. We've got all the details for women's golf. Men's golf off to a good start at its event. They began their play on Sunday in a 54-hole event. So plenty to get to, and we'll start it off, of course, with football, and that's the Bulls getting the win up in UConn game. Started off kind of slow, but once the Bulls got rolling, they were definitely rolling. As a matter of fact, Jordan McLeod played tremendous on offense, but it was all about the running game, in my opinion anyway, and the ability to stop UConn's running game on the other side. Jordan Cronkright didn't score a touchdown, but he might as well with his performance.
Hand off, Cronkright up the middle and into daylight, and Cronkright has a 17-yard gain out to the 42-yard line.
And if they keep stringing these type of plays together, UConn is in trouble. That was what we saw from Cronkright last year, and he was a guy away from a potentially 70-yard run.
Second down and 10 on the 42. Hand off up the middle. Cronkright, nothing but green grass again, and he's got another first down into UConn territory to the Huskies' 43-yard line. That's another 15 for Cronkright, who already has 38 on the ground today. Cronkright now with 89 yards on the day. Bulls have run the ball effectively now, 211 yards on the ground. Here's a pitch to the right to Cronkright. He's going to get the edge, get to the 20, 25, 30, and out near the 30-yard line. That'll be a first down for the Bulls, and it'll give Jordan Cronkright a 100-yard rushing day.
Great day for Cronkright, and I tell you what, these games just help guys remember, hey, I can still do it, I can still play, I can still perform, because sometimes when you're not performing, it's not easy to stay as motivated. So this is a great game for him. It'll be great for the rest of the year.
So it is now third down and 2 from the 42. Pitch to the left, taken by Cronkright. He's got the first down, cuts it to the sideline, breaks a tackle, and is out the gate inside the 20-yard line. He'll be out of bounds at the UConn 14. That's a gain of 29 on the play.
Definitely wanted to throw in a little medley of Cronkright there. Sometimes it's not the scoring plays that really dictate what happened in the game. And he had 148 yards on 20 carries. The scoring runs went to Jordan McLeod. And certainly he had some big time runs in this game to move the chains and just playing thrilling runs like his 28-yard touchdown. You had Trevon Sands going 7 carries for a career-high 64 yards and a score. And, of course, Spencer Schrader with a big touchdown run. We'll get to that in just a little bit. But first, head coach Charlie Strong on the importance of the run game, followed by Cronkright and then McLeod himself, the two Jordans, speaking about its importance.
Well, just being consistent and sticking with it. I think that what happened in the past game, we gave up on it too easy. You know, we didn't get a bigger hit there in the beginning. You know, if it's 2 yards, it's 3. But when you're running the football, you have to be patient. And this may be a 2 yard, it may be a 3 yard, it may be, then you're going to bust one. You have to have confidence in the offensive line and let them guys just come off the ball, which they did today, and they moved
it. It was a great feeling. Shout out to the offensive line. They did a tremendous, they just been sticking with it. We were harping on it during the week, just that we need to establish a run game and move people up front, and they stuck to it and put everything they had into it for all 4 quarters, and they did a great job.
Well, this week, just going into the week, you know, coach taught me about just not taking as many sacks, so I just trying to make a play, and I just thought high school all over again, just trying to make a play, get the first down, keep positive plays going, no negative plays. I think the O-line needed it as well too, because they, you know, had over 300 rushing yards today through all of our backs. It just, we had a good push today, and that's just going into the week, we knew that that's something we had to do to make our offense better.
And oh yeah, it was better without Johnny Ford, who was suspended. You'll hear a coach speak to that in just a little bit, but he was not with the team, neither was Blake Barnett, so it was Jordan McLeod and Bryce Miller starting in the slot. And you know, Kerwin Bell told us that Miller would be starting in the slot. No one thought to ask, well, does that mean Johnny Ford he's not going to be there, but he wasn't. Eddie McDoom was the other possibility. He had really a touchdown, but McLeod, is, you'll hear him admit, kind of threw that ball behind him. But Miller, three catches for 36 yards and two scores. So first of all, his two touchdowns, then Bryce himself, followed by Coach Strong on someone having to step into that role vacated by Johnny Ford.
Second down and seven from the UConn 12-yard line. McLeod will throw, looking end zone toward the corner. Bryce Miller caught. Touchdown, USF. McLeod to Miller for 12 yards, and the Bulls take the lead at UConn. McLeod to throw, has time. Throwing toward the end zone, wide open, caught. Bryce Miller, his second of the day.
Felt pretty good, you know, earning my opportunity last week to get the starting job at the slot receiver. Going over the week, we knew we were going to get man coverage. I knew what I had to do to get open. It happened. First touchdown, it was a corner out, so I went up, gave him a post stick, and when I saw the ball up, I had to get it just to get us rolling on offense.
And I said to them last night, I said, okay, you got one rich guy who's not here. So you're going to tell me Bryce, you're going to tell me McDoom, you're going to tell me Stanley, you're going to tell me Dukes, you're going to tell me St. Felix, you got Jannard, you got Horn. You guys are going to tell me that one guy is better than all of you guys, and it's going to take all of us playing together. So somebody's going to step up today. I don't know who it's going to be. So when somebody's going to step up, they're going to have a really good game. You know, Bryce having a two, and then even St. Felix, he dropped a one touchdown, and then, like I said, we came back and threw him another one. But just to see those guys step up and know, because when you step up and when you feel like that, no one really believes in you, and then all of a sudden they start feeling like, hey, they, you know, some balls coming our way, then they're able to make those catches. And we made some catches in that Jannard, caught a big one there across the Miller, across the middle. And then, you know, to see Backus make the catch he made and then try to step over there and go in for the score. But it was always somebody stepping up, and Jordan was able to find different receivers.
So great to see the offense go for more than 500 yards. Again, the Spencer Schrader fake field goal counts as 22 yards for the running game, put it over 300 for the game. That was really the big deal. Now, as far as the defense goes, a couple of linebackers making some key plays, much to the head coach's liking.
And then on defense, we still have to get off the field on our foot, you know, third and fourth down. But just to watch Boyles, for him to have a game, he had eight tackles, three tackles for a loss, and a sack.
From the 24 of the Bulls, first and 10, here is Tompkins, and Dwayne Boyles comes flying in and tackles him for a loss. They lost a yard on the play to the 25. It'll be second down and 11. If you've seen Dwayne Boyles, you know he's got the really long hair, and that hair was just flying as he went in there and made that tackle.
And then Greer, seven tackles, one sack, and 2.5 tackles for a loss.
And hands off to Mensah, and he's going to be spun down by Antonio Greer. That'll be behind the line of scrimmage. Another tackle for loss for the Bulls. It'll be third and 12. That's the Bulls' seventh tackle for loss in this game.
But we generated some sacks, generated some tackle for losses.
And most importantly, slowed down Kevin Mensah. He would end up with 70 yards, but on just 21 carries. And really, after the halftime whistle is when things turn around.
Yeah, well, we said at halftime is that we're not tackling. And then came back, we just weren't tackling well. I mean, we just giving up these long runs. The guys were getting around the ball. You know, they throw the one that jailbreak, and the guy goes down the sideline for like 30 yards. When the guy, we know what we had to do. We just go tackle the receiver. And we let the receiver catch the ball, and then they outran us. But it's all about tackling and just being gaps out and being in your gap.
Only allowed 8 points at one touchdown and a two-point conversion run in the second half. And oh, by the way, the fourth quarter when that touchdown was scored also featured a couple of late entertaining scores by the Bulls.
It's a fake. They toss it to Schrader, and he runs for the first down to the 10, to the 5. Is he in? Let's see where they mark it. It is a touchdown. Spencer Schrader on the fake field goal takes it around the right edge, and the Bulls tack on six more.
Well, they were coming heavy off the right side, and we have what we call a flip play. And other than, you know, the holder catches the ball and just flips it over his shoulder to the kicker. Schrader can run. The thing about him, he can run. Mathis sealed the backer inside, which was a great block. I mean, unbelievable block. And then he was able to outrun the guy to the corner.
And so I'm on the sidelines just hanging out, you know, ready to get in the game. And Coach Strong comes up to me, and he's like, you ready to do this? You think you can do it? You have confidence in yourself? I'm like, all right, I've been playing football for a year and a half, but I'll go for it. Let's do it. So he's like, all right, just catch the ball and just run like hell for the pylon. And I'm like, I can do it. So I get lined up, and he kind of, I'm nervous, but I was excited for it. Snap comes, Trent has a perfect flip to me. I caught it, and I just busted it for the pylon. And I got in there, and I got hit right after, so I was kind of disoriented when I got up, but everyone was celebrating, so I knew I scored. It's just like, oh my gosh, did I just score? So, yeah, for sure. It was fun to be a real part of the team and, like, hype up the guys and get that energy going. You know, whatever I can do my part, I'm willing to do it.
Yeah, he was a kicker for 1 year at Newsom High School. I looked up his stats, by the way. 31 of 32 on PATs and 7 of 8 on field goals, and he apparently is a pretty quick runner as well. That's how it ended up. Actually, it ended up with Kirk Reigel getting into the very end of the game and throwing a touchdown with 30 seconds left. And actually, I suppose Coach Strong might have felt bad after the fact. I think he was trying to get Reigel a pass, but not necessarily add 6 more points. That's how it worked out. So you'll hear the highlight followed by what Randy Edsel thought about it. He was asked by the UConn press.
Second and 9 on the 33. Here's Reigel rolling out. He's going to wind and throw, and he's got Devontrez Dukes, who makes a move, dives for the end zone, and he scores. Touchdown USF. Reigel with the touchdown pass.
Charlie came up to me afterwards and said, we shouldn't mess it. Charlie, I got no problem with that. You know, I talk about playing every play like it's the last play you're ever going to play. And there's a great example. You got to do that. And we don't have guys doing that yet.
Good to know that there's no hard feelings. 48-22 and two big questions going forward, both asked by Joey Knight. Got to give him credit. Tampa Bay Times made the road trip. And this is how the media address with Coach Strong wrapped up.
Coach, what is Johnny Ford's status going forward?
Well, right now he's suspended, and it's going to, you know, it's going to be some working time for him. So we're just going to watch it happen and watch it develop.
And do you anticipate Blake will be healthy enough for BYU?
But I just don't know that for sure, but just by him today not playing, it really helped him. And if he can get back for BYU, it would really help us as a team.
Something I'm sure he'll give us a further update on his Monday press conference. That'll be on tomorrow's show. We got plenty more on this show, though. What a weekend in many wild and weird ways for soccer. Awesome weekend for golf. Again, a school record broken. Volleyball lost twice, but really had an impressive defeat on Sunday. Cross country gets a double W. Yep, let's talk about that all next on Bulls Beat.